Do you have an idea for an invention or new product? Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Then call InventHelp now. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential and explains every step of the invention process. We create professional materials representing your idea and submit it to companies who are looking for new ideas. We have more than 9,000 companies who have agreed to review ideas in confidence. If a company shows interest in manufacturing your invention, we can negotiate on your behalf. We have helped over 10,000 clients receive patents. We also offer services including 3D modeling and animation demonstrating your idea, prototyping services, and we use state-of-the-art technology to show InventHelp client ideas to additional companies. Join the thousands of people just like you who chose InventHelp to pursue their idea. We are experienced. We are working for you. We are InventHelp.
Call us for free information at 1-800-461-3151. That's 1-800-461-3151. Again, 1-800-461-3151.
Into Tomorrow continues. I'm Dave Graveline. Thanks for tuning into the program. More importantly, I want to thank you personally for calling in and participating on the program. If you've got any question at all about consumer tech, any digital dilemma, maybe you want to share with us some tech rage, a little something not working quite the way it should in your tech world, maybe you want to help another listener, maybe you just want to share with us your favorite app these days. All of those things and then some, when we hear you on the air, automatically doesn't just qualify you to win prizes, you get prizes when we hear your voice on the air. And it really is easy to do. Here, I've got a pen. Jot down this number, 1-800-899-INTO, 800-899-4686. Good from anywhere in North America. You can Skype into it from anywhere in the world if you'd like. Again, 800-899-4686. Or use the audio option on the free Into Tomorrow apps. And of course, I'm sure you already follow us on Twitter and Facebook and all that good stuff, at IT Radio Show on Twitter. Like us on Facebook, fb.com/Into Tomorrow. And I'd love it if you get social with me as well. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, it's all easy, all the same, at Dave Graveline, just like it sounds. And glad to get social with you. Our next guest is a clinical forensic psychologist here to talk about problems with Facebook addiction. What? No, you don't know anyone like that, do you? Come on, we all have, I think, a little, at least a little, Facebook addiction. Clinical psychologist with Mainstream Mental Health is Dr. John Huber. Dr. John, welcome into Tomorrow. How are you, sir?
I am amazing, and thanks for having me on, Dave.
I'm glad you're amazing, because that makes a much more interesting interview. If you had said, like my line of adequate, then that would perhaps not have been as much fun. So.
Well, I just from talking with you, I know you're much more than adequate.
Oh, well, thank you. I don't do anything unless we can have fun with it. And it's odd, because here we are talking about mental health, but you got to have a sense of humor, I think, especially with some of these issues. We'll get into some more serious things, too, of course. But you've got to be able to have some sense of humor to be able to cope, I think, with a lot of stuff. And especially if we're talking about vulnerability in human psychology, and Facebook comes to mind, man, if we can't at least chuckle about it and then say, now what do we do? We're in trouble.
Well, life is too short not to smile and laugh as much as possible. That's kind of my motto. But when you look at Facebook, it really is addictive. In fact, we've measured that when people like a post that you have, you actually get a little bitty dopamine burst, much like when somebody sees you across the room, a friend of yours, and they smile and wave at you.
Now, so there you go. Likes are important.
they are, but the problem with the likes on social media, not just Facebook, but the other, Instagram and Snapchat and like that, is that they're very much like saccharin. You feel good when you drink that Diet Coke. It feels like it's satisfying, but there's absolutely no nutritional value in
Yes. it. Yes, and you come crashing down if it were a sugar high, and then what do? You have to get more likes.
Back online, yes. Right, you go back online and you try to stimulate that, until you get to a point where you're like, hey, I'm you know, posting all these negative things and nobody likes you, and it makes it even worse. You do fall into depression.
Nobody likes you. Oh, gosh.
Yeah. Nobody likes you.
I know. But, well, and before we get more into Facebook addiction and what to do about it, it just suddenly occurred to me, what about people who only post, always, only selfies, whether it's Instagram or Facebook or otherwise? Like, that's their life, and it's all about likes, and it's, you know, attempting to be a model or something constantly. But that's their entire social media is only them. Maybe once in a while their dog, but usually it's only them. And, you know, I worry about those people. Should I?
I think you should. I mean, the research shows that people who do excessive selfies actually more than likely have some sort of diagnosable mental disorder, whether it's depression or some sort of delusional disorder, like they think they really are, you know, some major supermodel and stuff like that.
And those that I know, John, they are delusional. So you hit it on the head. You hit the nail on the head. So, you know, if they're listening, pay attention. You know, it's not a...
Pay attention.
Pay attention, exactly. It's not about how many likes for your 100,000 selfies. And you wonder why I unfollow you. I know what you look like already, okay? Oh, now I know what you look like in that shirt. Oh, now I know what you... Oh, please. Yeah, now I know what you look like with your leg up against the wall. Oh,
exactly. And holding that puppy dog, yeah. And, you know, getting bit by your hamster, whatever, yeah. You know.
Exactly. But yeah, put something else in the picture, even if it's your meal once in a while. Just give me something other than you. So, okay.
Well, and the research specifically indicates too that if you have 7 or more social media apps, you're 3 times more likely to be have major depressive disorder.
Oh my God! I didn't even know there were 7 social media things, and I host a tech show.
Right. Well, I had a friend at lunch, and we were talking about that, and he goes, "Oh, there's not even 7," and we went on, and in about 60 seconds, we found over 100 social media apps.
Very true.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So well, there's a ton of them.
Oh, for sure. Let's get back to Facebook addiction anyway, because I think a lot of folks listening are saying, "Yeah, I hear you. I'm on it, and you got to just keep scrolling because you're afraid you're going to miss something." And then, you know, you don't want to comment a lot because then you get everybody else's comments until you go in and turn them off. And so you like or you sad face or you anger or wow or whatever, because wow, at least now we have some more options, but it's putting it down. And now, of course, what has Facebook done? If those who haven't been on recently haven't realized this, but you go to escape from the app, and no, it's going to reload first with new information, because don't you leave us, you're going to miss something.
That's right. And you know, they're genius. They really are when it comes to interacting with society and getting people to do that. And that ability to not just look at somebody else's post, but to react to it, that like, that was pure and utter marketing genius right there.
Oh, for sure. I give them credit for that. Just like, you know, the soda manufacturers putting sugar or any other fake sweetener.
Caffeine,
exactly. Coffee makers, whatever. Genius, because you crave it. And this is the same thing. And it works very much, I'm assuming, and you're the psychologist, I'm not, but tell me, it works very much like any other addiction.
In fact, the same chemical mechanisms going on in your brain are triggering, only not as intense as like heroin, but the exact same mechanisms are firing off. So yeah, it's very addictive.
And at least it's a free app, so it's cheaper than heroin. But
but you buy all the new marketing stuff that's in there.
Now that's true. How many sponsored apps or posts that you realize you get into it and go, wait a minute, let me back out of the, oh, sponsored. No wonder. You know, they're just really selling me this thing. And of course, I'm only going to buy 2. whatever.
Right. Just two.
Just 2, because we got to have exercise some control of some sort. But is
and,
it?
And that's really what we can do right there, is the control thing. Mm. And, you know, in my house, you know, for my kids to stay online, they have to go and do physical activity. They have to, my daughter's on a basketball team. My son's a second degree black belt.
Whoa. Don't mess with him.
Exactly. And he also participates in three competitive choirs. They're going to be in Boston in the spring. And, you know, they do all this stuff. But that's the price they have to pay if they want to stay online in my house. And I do it, and my wife does it, but we do it. We're both black belts, and we both train and you know, do sword fighting and nunchucks and throwing knives and all these wonderful things.
Oh, nice. I'm glad this is a phone interview. I don't want to upset you. But with that in mind, Dr. John Huber, can I get you to hold a moment while we pay a couple of bills? I've got to hold you over. We never do this with these interviews, but there's more tips and hints I got to get from you, more discussion. I want to find out a little bit more about mainstreammentalhealth.org, and we'll do that right after we do this on Into Tomorrow here on the Advanced Media Network.